Last night, my wife and I, along with a number of this congregation, were down in Midlothian at Jamie Stovall's wedding, and it was a gorgeous, wonderful, exciting event. But we got home kind of late last night, so if some of us fall asleep in the service, be patient with us, Devin, okay? I had the opportunity to sit next to a man named Bryce. I did not know him, but I got talking with him, and I asked a question most guys always ask. What do you do for a living? He said, I teach self-defense. I said, really? He said, yes. He said, Jamie is one of my students. I said, so what are you teaching? Karate, judo? He said, I teach, let me see if I can pronounce this right, Krav Maga. I had never heard of it. I said, so what is it? He said, it's the defense taught to Israeli special forces. He said, most martial arts is more of a sporting event. You go through the belt, you can compete in competition, and you win awards. He said, what I teach is about how to survive if you're attacked. He said, I teach what they teach Israeli special forces to do when somebody comes at you with a knife or a gun or comes at you surprising. And he and I talked the night, and I learned so much from him. He said, the first thing you have to do, he said, you've got to be prepared and know what's happening around you. Because he said, at any moment or any time, you could have to defend yourself. Now, and I'll tell you how I translated this. Us pastors are always, how can I take and use this? We as followers of Christ have an enemy. An enemy who sets us up for failure, who is always trying to attack us. And we have to be prepared for the enemy's onslaught in our life. Now, we've talked so far about two of those strategies. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how we need to be in the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God for direction and guidance, decision making. Last week, we talked about how we need to pray boldly in the name of Jesus, and how prayer becomes our lifeline with God. And as James says, we have not because we ask not. Today we're going to talk about our gathering together, our coming together in Christ for times of worship and times of study. Richard Ellis was asleep in bed, sound asleep. He was woke up by his wife shaking him. She said, Richard, get up. It's time to get dressed and go to church. Richard said, I don't want to go to church today. She said, why? He said, first of all, nobody there likes me. He said, second of all, I'm not getting anything out of it. He said, and thirdly, I just want to stay in bed and rest today. She said, well, I'll give you three reasons why you should go to church. She said, first of all, people there do like you. She said, secondly, and you are going to get something out of it. She said, and thirdly, get up. You're the pastor, and you need to get up and be at church this morning. If there's anybody that understands why sometimes going to church is difficult, I will assure you I do. When this morning at 6:30, my alarm clock sounded, and I was in a deep sleep. And I'm like, no, it can't be this early. It's got to be like 2:30 in the morning. And I looked at the clock and, oh, got to get up, got to go. I know. Here's what's going on, though, friends. We live in a culture that provides us so many opportunities to go do something else on the Lord's Day, and at times when we have Bible studies and small groups, that we oftentimes yield to the other things, and we allow other things to take precedent in our life, without understanding that God has set up for us a process whereby we are strengthened, and God wants to do something in our life. We've talked about being in the Word of God. We've talked about praying. We've talked about gathering together today. I'm going to talk to you next Sunday about being a giver. Then the Sunday after that about being a server. But of all of these five strategies, if I could pick out the most important one, I would say this is it: gathering. Because when you come together, you're encouraged. And oftentimes you're encouraged to go home and get in the Word of God. You're encouraged to pray. You're encouraged to give. You're encouraged to serve. That we need to be together in the Word of God. I've never known a strong Christian who did not have a regular habit of weekly church attendance. It is always the first visible sign of backsliding. And as I heard a college professor say one time, we're only two Sundays away from not being back at church. Years ago, for some of you might recall this, it's back before my time, there wasn't a lot to do on Sundays. You woke up, there was no place to go, you maybe didn't have television or just had a couple of channels, and you decided, well, I'm going to church today, after all, there's nothing else to do, and it became a habit, and you started coming to church. But I think today, when we have so many distractions, and don't we have distractions, it's more important today than it was when we had nothing to do. Because today, everything is pulling at you. Everything is just pulling at you. Give me your time. Give me your money. Give me your focus. Give me your commitment. And if there's ever been a time when we need to be in the Lord and we need to be in His house with other Christians, it is today. So I'm just going to take you very quickly through three simple points, and it's this: why we gather together. Okay? Here's the first one. We gather together to honor God. Setting aside a day of worship. Why? Because it was one of the original Ten Commandments. God said, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. We need focus. And God told Israel, this is how you're going to keep your focus once a week. You're going to set aside a day where you will focus on me and rest. And when this day is over, you'll have the right focus and you'll be strengthened for the week ahead. Now, I know that I don't need to explain this to you, but just to make certain that we're on the same page. God created the earth in how many days? Anybody help me out here? 6 days. Says, and on the seventh day, God rested. The Jewish people, the descendants of Abraham, Saturday was the Sabbath. It was the holy day. They had rules and restrictions about what you could and could not do. On the Sabbath day, it was God's day. And this is what we need to know historically to have a foundation for what God would do in our life. The top two reasons that people give for not attending church are life is too busy and church is boring. Let's talk church for a minute, okay? Let's just be honest and talk church. Is the service here going to be as exciting as a close Cowboys football game? Not in the same way. Absolutely not. Are you going to get the same thrill that you do going to Six Flags? I rather doubt it. Although it's cooler in here, you don't got to stand in line. But there is something that happens here that can happen at no other places. You can meet with God and connect with people that have a relationship with Him that will encourage you in your faith. And some people say, well, I just don't like how that church does church. Did you know all over the world today, Christians are gathering together and most of them do church different? Some of them today in China are meeting in homes. Trust me, there's no sign out front. They don't want the authorities to know where they are. But they're meeting in homes and they're singing some songs and they're hearing someone teach about the Word of God. There are some in Africa today meeting under trees, studying and worshiping, playing the instruments they happen to have. I talked with someone on the phone the other day about a church that they had been attending, but they're just not certain that they're going back because the church is changing its music. Well, you do understand the church has changed its music for the last 2,000 years, don't you? About 20 years ago, this church began to change its music. Up until that point, we always sang out of a hymnal. Okay? Everybody remembers hymnals. For our teens here today, that's it's got songs in a book, okay? And we open the book and they don't get it. We started trying to move from all hymns to singing some choruses too. And we didn't use the hymn books so much. We started putting the words on the wall. And I started hearing some grumbling. Have you ever heard grumbling in a church? Now, this church, it's not a grumbling church. It's not a backbiting church. But if people aren't happy, there would generally be a grumbling. Somebody would tell somebody. Well, I heard about that one Sunday as I was teaching about music. And I said, you do understand the same God who inspired Fanny Crosby to write some of these great hymns. The same God who inspired Martin Luther to pen some of his great hymns is still inspiring people today to put songs to music to sing to him. Still doing it. And I asked the question, I said, how many of you would like to sing some of the older songs? And I had quite a few people that put their hands up. So, and I had not planned this, I asked Rusty Davis, and Rusty, Tammy isn't here today. He's at work, right? He is if you don't know it, he is a history buff, especially of the Catholic Church. And I knew for a fact he knew some of the old songs from the time of Pope Gregory, all in Latin. But this is what the church sang. So I asked him to come up, and if he wouldn't mind, sing a couple of the older songs the church used to sing. Well, he came up and sang some of those Gregorian chants in Latin. And the congregation is just looking at him. I said, are those old enough, or would you like to sing some older ones? And they got the point. Things change. The style of music I listened to coming up, my father couldn't stand. Music changes with generations. But as long as they praise the name of the Lord, as long as it's about exalting Him and being true to the Word of God, God is birthing these songs. So when we come to church, yes, you may not sing all the songs you used to sing. I hope that you're mature enough in Christ to allow some of the younger Christians to enjoy theirs and grow in the Lord. When you come to church, we may not do everything that you used to do in church. When I came up every Sunday, we did the Lord's Prayer. We did the Apostles' Creed and the Gloria Patri. We don't do that here. That's okay. What's important is that it's not about you, it's about Him. It's always about Him. And if you'll understand that, you'll be at an open place that you can allow God speak to you, to work through you. Three quick scriptures. Here's the first one. On the first day of the week, Jesus first appeared to Mary Magdalene. This is important with where we are going. Sunday morning. Remember, the Jews worshiped the Sabbath on Saturday. They had to get Jesus buried quickly because the Sabbath was approaching. But on Sunday morning, Jesus rose from the dead and He appeared to Mary Magdalene Sunday morning. It was the greatest event in human history. And it changed history. Second scripture verse, Chris. On the first day of the week, when we gather to break bread. Every Christian gathered on Sunday to honor the Lord God. Now, I don't know if you've thought about this. Okay. Up until the resurrection of Christ, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, for thousands of years have always worshiped on Saturday. It is the Jewish day. It is the Sabbath. It is the holy day. But following the resurrection of Christ on a Sunday, those Jews that came to Christ changed their Sabbath. What would make these Jewish people that all of their life had worshiped on Saturday, that had been taught you worship on Saturday, that from their childhood up had worshiped on Saturday, what would make them want to change to now doing Sunday worship? Because they had seen the Lord. It is such a validation of the Lord's resurrection that the early church, which was all Jewish, changed this day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. That is why we gather together on Sunday, because it is the day when Christ was raised from the dead. Now, to be perfectly honest with you this morning, I was born and raised in a Presbyterian church back in Pendleton, South Carolina. The church itself celebrated its bicentennial probably 25, 30 years ago. The church is over 200 years old. The actual building I went to a church in is over about 150 years old. My family went to church every now and then. Not regularly. Was not consistent in worship, was not consistent in Sunday school. And we as boys coming up figured out real quick must not be too important if we're not doing it regularly. When I graduated high school, I did not have a walk with God. When I entered college, I did not have a walk with God. As I look back, a large part of it, because church was not part of our routine coming up, was not part of our life coming up. And it was not till I got to college and one day opened up a Bible that my grandmother had given to me. And I started in the Gospel of Matthew and started reading. And I read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, just straight through the three Gospels. And when I finished the three Gospels, I realized two things, that God loved me and I needed Christ. And I just bowed and asked Jesus to come into my life. Didn't understand, didn't know a lot, but those were two things I didn't know. It is imperative that you parents make regular church attendance important in your life. Third verse, Chris. This is from John, the beloved disciples. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Sunday. The early church had begun to call Sunday the Lord's day. Now, it meant for them gathering in homes, gathering on the porches at the temple, gathering wherever place that they could. They did not have the Bibles that we happen to have in hand, but they were being taught what Jesus taught. They were singing hymns to Him, and God ministered to them. We need to understand that this is His day. Now, I don't want to step on toes, but I'm going to be perfectly honest with you here. I'm going to be honest. This is the Lord's day. It is not the travel day. Because we've got so much to do, we can't think of any other time to travel. It is not the sleep-in day. When church is over, you can go home and take a nap. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Church is not the family day. I've shared this, but I think it's worth repeating. Whenever we would go visit my grandmother on my mother's side, her home was about an hour from ours. My father would always get frustrated because he would want to go early and get the visit over with so he could come back and work. But we could not go early. Do you know why we could not go early on Sundays? Because grandmother was going to be in church. And there was no sense in us coming because she would not skip church just because family was coming over. She wouldn't do it. It was a high priority in her life. It is not the family day. It is not the sports day. God did not create Sunday to give a day for the NFL to invite us all in, to attend their games via in person or via the internet. It is the Lord's day. And friends, we need it. I need it. I get discouraged sometimes and you encourage me. Why we gather together, number two, to love others. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way. And let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works. Not staying away from worship meetings as some habitually do, but encouraging each other all the more as you see the day drawing near. Last night at Jamie's wedding, the scripture was quoted when God said to Adam, it is not good for man to be alone. And so God from Eve, from Adam, created his wife Eve. But when we say it is not good for man to be alone, we mean far more than a spouse. We are created for community. We need each other. We long and need to have people that care about us, that love us, and that we can love, that understand what we're going through, that'll be patient with us when we fall and pick us up. We need it. We need community. The church is Christ's community. We are the body of Christ. He works through us. Aren't you discouraged sometimes, and you'll come to church and you'll see people that love you and care about you, and if they know what's going on, they'll ask you what's going on? I love to see people praying together in the corner. Oh, we need to pray more for each other. But we need others. When death darkens at our door, we need friends that will stand with us and encourage us. And I know what some of you are thinking. Well, I'm okay today. I don't need encouragement. Therefore, I'll go to so-and-so. But I want to remind you, it's not about you. Maybe you could encourage somebody else. If you're teaching Sunday school and you have a good crowd, Carrie, doesn't it make you feel better? Oh, it just encourages you that they thought it was important enough to come. But if all of a sudden you look out and only one of two have come, it's discouraging. We encourage each other by our presence. You bless me by being here. I will look out and see you step in and see your face, and it just excites me because I know how much I need you, and I think that you need each other. Church on Sunday is a holy habit that changes lives. Saw an article in the paper a number of years ago. This man addressed the editor, said he was tired of going to church. He'd been going to church for 30 years. He said, 30 years going to church, I don't remember a single sermon. He said, evidently it's not helping me a whole lot. Next week, there was a response to his letter to the editor. The guy said, I've been married for 30 years. He said, I can't remember a single meal that my wife served me in entirety. But he said, through those 30 years, I've been nourished and provided for and taken care of. A lot of truth to it. Are you going to remember everything I tell you? You're a lot better than me if you do. There's a good chance if you call me this afternoon and ask me what I preached on, I'll have to say, give me a minute. Need to think about it because I'm already thinking about next week. I do take great heart, and I earnestly pray when I decide when I'm going to preach on. Because my ultimate goal in life is to help you. To help you have a closer walk with God. And to help you be successful in life. I want to see your children grow up to know Christ and walk with Him. I want to see you have a strong marriage. I want to see everything that you blessed and prosper as God has promised to do that to those who honor and serve Him. Can I preach every Sunday on where you are struggling? No. But here's what I've learned, and I know this for a fact because God's done this in my heart. God can take any message and apply it to what's going on in your life. Any message. If you are listening and paying attention, praying, God, speak to me. God will take something I say. Maybe it's something you thought I ought to have said, but it'll be something that God can apply to your heart. Point number three, Chris, let's go to it real quick. Why we gather together is to help ourselves. Friend, sometimes I need help. Jesus told his disciples this: the Sabbath was not made for man. Excuse me, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. I want you to think about that. Why did God establish a day that we would honor him and rest? Jesus said, it's not so that we would have something to do. He said, it's because you'll have something that you need. God knows what you need far better than you know what you need. If you have a piece of equipment, it usually comes with a manual that tells you about maintenance. My son Scott has a wonderful heart, but he lacks self-discipline sometimes. I was always reminding Scott, have you checked your oil? Have you had your oil changed? Well, doing it next week, Dad. Gonna get it next week, Dad. He's a teacher, so he's out of high school. He's out of college. He calls me one day coming home from teaching down in Scurry-Rosser. Dad, my car is acting up. It's acting like it's wanting to stop. And he said, I'm pulling in here. Could you come get me and help me? Well, I dropped what I was doing and drove down to where he was. And sure enough, his car was making strange noises. And I called someone to come and pick it up and take it to the shop. I brought Scott home. Got a call the next day from the shop, and a lot of you know Paul, and Paul called me, and he said, Ken, I checked out Scott's car. I said, yeah. He said, not a drop of oil in it. I said, what's the bad news? He said, engine's gone. You see, God knows something that you don't know. God knows that you need a day to focus on him, to get your priorities back right, to fellowship with others. You see, we encourage each other. You see others, you say, I'm not by myself. There's others who go through what I'm going through and see a need for God. We need help sometimes. And God says, this is where we get it. And by the way, you need more help that's going to happen on a Sunday morning worship service. You need to be involved in a Sunday school class or a small group or a Bible study where you get to know people more intimately, where you can share some of your needs and your hurts, and you can pray for each other and call each other and check on each other and go out to eat and build some deeper friendships. We need it. So important is it that God commanded us to set a day, this one day. Second verse says this, but encouraging one another in the Lord. We need it for each other. Well, Pastor, I come to church and I really don't talk to a lot of people. I just come and sit and people aren't talking a lot around me. Doesn't always make a difference. When there's a death in a family and there's visitation that night, I'll often have people say, Pastor, I'm going to the visitation tonight. What do I say to them? What do you say to someone who's lost a child or lost a spouse? I'll say, don't say anything. Hug their necks and give them a squeeze. It says everything. It says they cared enough to come. I know they love me. What can you say anyway? What can you say? Now, it's good to try to say if God gives you something, but so often they just want to know that they are loved and they're not by themselves and someone stands in the gap with them. We need each other. And God says we need each other weekly. And my experience bears that out. If we have a family, an individual who's coming on a regular basis, and they miss a couple Sundays, unless I know something's going on, like they're in the hospital, they're out of town, I know they're in trouble. Because when you miss two, it's hard to get back that third. Hard to get it back. And I know I'm talking about adding something to your daily schedule, your weekly schedule. But I'm going to make you this promise. You will get more out of it than it'll cost you. In the long run, giving God time will give you more time. And God will bless you. Isn't that why Jesus, let me see if I can quote this. Some of you possibly have heard this. That we should first pursue the kingdom of God and the things of God. And then He will add all these things to us. If you learned it in the King James, it said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He will add all these things unto you. God makes it clear and plain. Him first. Other second. And He will bless us. Don't you want His blessing in your life? So here's what I encourage you to do. Next Sunday when the alarm clock goes off, and your body says, stay in bed, get up anyway. Next Sunday when you've been invited to the lake, say, no thank you. I think I need to go to church today. After all, I just get sunburned anyway. Next Sunday when the family says, we're coming over, why don't you say, could you wait till after church and then I'll fix us something to eat? Is it value? And is it priority? It was with Jesus, who was always quick to be there on the Sabbath day in the synagogue or in the temple. Would you stand with me? Father God, we need you. And as much as we need you, Father, we know that you created us with a need to worship you and a need to connect with others. And Father, I pray that you would deal with our hearts, God. Because, Father, sometimes we get lazy and we get selfish. And instead of thinking about you and thinking about others, we think it's all about us, Lord. And our comfort and what we want to do and what's fun for us. Father, forgive our sin of selfishness. And help us, Father, to be able to come alive unto Christ. Together with other believers on the Lord's Day, to sing hymns unto you and to praise you. To encourage others and talk with others and build relationships with others. Father, help us to be strong for the battles that lie ahead. And this is so vital, Father, for our spiritual conditioning that we set aside this day. So I'm asking you this day, friends, that you establish a new holy habit in your life. Today is the Lord's day. I will be in the Lord's house. Today is His day. I will put Him first. And I will trust Him to honor His promises. And I will trust that God knows more about me than I do and what I need. So make plans next Sunday. You're in God's house. You're there to honor Him. You're there to connect with others. You're there to hear from Him. And you're there to be an encouragement. Father God, have Thy way in our midst. Do something great in our life, that You might do something great through our lives. For us, in Jesus' holy, precious, abiding name, we pray. Amen. And amen. Be seated.